Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 270. Now, this, we've had intimate podcasts before, but this is, it could be one more intimate, but...
No, we're not getting any more intimate than we already are.
But, sadly, we're three men down. Adam is in Atlanta, Josh is at a Girl Scout meeting, and Dave is just not here. I don't know the specifics. I'm sure everything's fine. He just said he wouldn't be able to make it tonight. So, it is just me and...
Pat.
I invited someone else, but they chose not to come.
Boo.
And they always talk to talk a good game, just can't make it down here.
They're scared. So. If you're scared, say you're scared.
So now we will be true stereo, because I will be coming at you from the left side and Pat from the right. This is kind of cool to put this right between us.
Nice.
Left ear, right ear. I don't really have any rants. There was a really good one online today. Brian Hibbs wrote what I thought was a really, really good article about the problem with Marvel and made a lot of sense. It wasn't a bashing Marvel so much as saying they're kind of starting to reap what they've sown. For years, they've kind of been over-publishing and making it so that you can't get all the books.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're an X-Men fan, the chances of you wanting all the books is slim. And well, there's certainly no more zombies that want the entire line. Nobody's getting, you know, 70 to 80 books a month at $4 a pop. I have one guy who does, but he is literally my only... I have a Marvel zombie and I have a DC zombie. Guy who gets, I want to say, every DC book. And the rest is kind of a mixture. Yeah. I certainly skew heavier DC. At one point last week, I forget if it was Thursday, it might have been Thursday, somebody was getting Wildstorm, and he said he was far more interested in Wildstorm, something that he had never really read before, than he was in Secret Empire. And I looked him back up, and at that point, Secret Empire was beating Wildstorm by 4 copies. And I'm like, Wildstorm isn't, it's like a C-level...
Yeah.
No-name book. Now, yes, it's got Warren Ellis' name attached to it, but his spotlight is certainly not as bright as it was. But, I mean, it's a good, enjoyable book. I didn't read that yet. I didn't read number 3 yet, but just been a really, really enjoyable book. But, yeah, I just found that very telling, where I don't want to say quality sells. That's not fair to Secret Empire, but I definitely think... That,
but it's not even quality. It's
Sean.
Not because you know the quality of the book itself. I'm not even looking at as
interest.
A consumer. Yeah. I'm scared off. Like your last couple
here,
4 or 5.
Are you reading Wildstorm by chance?
No, I'm.
Oh,
not.
Okay.
I looked at it. I thought about it, but I did not get it.
Just, I noticed at one point yesterday I'd sold 4 more copies of Secret Empire than Wildstorm number 3. I'm like, that's interesting.
Huh.
You know, that's why I just had. Sorry, Sean, former podcaster doing a drive-by.
That's right.
No, I mean, it's as a consumer, I'm scared off because, one...
Well, it's a 10-part story, first 2 or 5 bucks a piece.
But it's not even that, although, I mean, that certainly plays into it, too, the financial aspect, but... Their last several events have just not been good. The amount of tie-ins that come with the books, and unfortunately, at least the last couple events, something major has happened in one of the tie-ins that they don't even, you know, really reference, you know, where to go back to read it. And it's like, I don't know that I want to do that.
Yeah, and Brian Hibbs made a real good point, was there were 3 issues last week that were the, I forget what they called them, but they were the lead-ins to Secret Empire.
Road 2.
And all 3 shipped last week, and then Secret Empire 0. So he's like, here you go, you want to get into this? $17.
$17,
And it's like, oh. And then, but what drives me nuts is then this week, we got nothing. There were no Secret Empire. So why didn't those 3 come out last week and then Secret Empire this week?
0 this week, yeah.
I think it would have made more sense and try to, instead of, and there was so much inside, read this before this, read this before. Why don't you ship them in that order and make it easy on everybody?
Well, yeah, they could have had that going back, you know, the first week of April. So, you know, they had enough books, you could have done 1 a week to kind of ramp everybody up.
Yeah, so just, but yeah, just the main part of the article. Dan. Samantha Lunar. Sorry, Tim likes to quiz me. He's gotten to the end of the polls, and there's always a couple extras that I know in my head to grab. So if you ever miss something, sometimes it's because it's not in the computer, it's in my head. It's not intentional. But yeah, it's just, it kind of goes back to there. You can't schedule these things. Yeah, you can.
You schedule, so, you have FOC, so you can schedule.
Yeah. So go to the Beat and read the article. I thought it was really, really good. I thought it was really kind of spot on, and it wasn't, it had nothing to do with subject or things like that. It was more talking about, like you mentioned, Black Panther was a huge book for him, and then all of a sudden they add two other Black Panther titles, and that dilutes it, and the people walk away. They've always been a problem of if one of good is good, three is better. And sometimes it's not. Just let the one be good. You know, Moon Knight is doing well for me. I don't know how it's doing nationally sales-wise, but people like it because that's all there is. And all of a sudden, if you add a Frenchie book and then or a different book with each personality, it would be too much. Just they just need to simplify things down a little. Deadpool is an easy, easy.
That's too easy. That's shooting fish in a barrel.
It's funny. James sent me a question that I'll forward on. We'll answer next week just because everybody isn't here. But he said he was talking about how Legacy or Generations or whatever is going to be bringing characters back. He said, what one character would you like to remove? And it doesn't have to be Marvel, but which character would you like to remove off the table that you don't want to see anymore? And to be honest, my first thought was Deadpool. Not that he's bad, but it's too much. He's everywhere. He doesn't need to be everywhere.
Yes and no. I get what you're saying. I don't think you need to remove the character. I think they need to be a little bit more judicious in the way which they use the character. I think the character does serve a purpose. He is one of their more comedic characters and does have a role to play in the wider Marvel Universe.
But he's got three ongoing series, plus he's in a team book, plus miniseries.
That's Marvel whoring him out more than anything else. It's not, you can't, you know, the character's an inanimate object.
Deadpool probably wouldn't mind being whored out.
So, he doesn't exist.
At least after watching the movie, I don't think he'd mind.
No. So you can't,
enjoy that.
Yeah, you can't blame the character himself.
Right. But just dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, just the way Marvel uses him, I think, is a problem. And you know, for a long time, I bought a lot of his sub-series or whatever, but, you know, even I mean...
$10 issues, and you got to walk away.
Yeah, that's just it. Every other issue is $10.
You like the $10 issues, right, Jim?
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was an interesting question.
It is funny, you're talking about Deadpool. It is very funny. I have never been a Deadpool fan.
Mm-hmm.
Love the movie.
Yep, yep. Absolutely. My wife loved the movie, and she doesn't
like him in the comics at all.
Yeah.
Not even slightly.
So I loved it. He was fine in X-Force, in Remender's X-Force run. I thought he was good.
He was excellent in Remender's X-Force.
So, but I think that was a little bit goes a long way situation. That was my initial thought. I'll come up with a better answer, but that was just my initial thought on that question.
I mean, and that's a realistic one, but there are lots of characters you could say that about where, you know, do they belong? You know, Riri Williams.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose? And that's what, it's not, she's a young girl. It's not, she's a black character. What's her purpose? What was the reason you brought her in? It's like, if you cook, I could just throw an ingredient in there, but why? Why did you do that? And that's kind of
they really
the
haven't answered that either. So, well, to be fair, I haven't read all of her issues, but.
But they also haven't done anything to make me want to read her issues. And you know, it. And we've talked about this before. It's not a problem with the character itself. It's you haven't built my interest, and now you give every character a book. You know, if you watch a TV show, occasionally they spin off characters. You know, but every character doesn't get a spin off because it's not going to work. There's just some characters you don't care enough about to spend a half hour with, or in this case,
Baby Groot doesn't need his own book.
Well, and that's, like, you could do a four-issue mini or something like that and make it cute and whatever and just say, hey, that's what we're doing here. We have a story to tell. That's okay. But you can't tell me they honestly have a plan for a, you know, 100-issue arc for Baby Groot. That's just not going to happen. The book's going to last 6 issues at best.
What?
That's
crazy talk. Well, it'll last at least as long as slapstick. So.
Oh yeah.
I feel a lot of the books, the Marvel books, are that way though. They are set up for a very limited run.
Yeah.
And they won't tell us that, but then it's funny because I'll be like, I haven't seen an issue of this in a while. I'll look at the last page and it says the end. It's like, please tell us it's the end.
Exactly.
You know. At least with DC, you see in the previews, final issue, you know, they even Image and stuff like that points out where Marvel is very
looking in Oni for letter 44 in final issue.
I thought it was going to 44. I thought that would have been good. See you, Sean.
See
good.
You guys.
It's tough because, truth be told, I enjoy the Marvel characters more as a whole than the DC characters, but for the core Marvel characters, I mean, Spider-Man, not Silk. Not Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah, Silk just ended. Spider-Woman just ended. Carnage ended. You know, all those books. But yeah, no.
But even it, so you got Spider-Woman. Spider-Woman's been an agent of Hydra. She's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, you can bring her into other books without her having to have her own book. That's not a knock on diversity. It's no, she can't sustain a book on her own. You can build her up to where she can, but right now, she can't. You know, Doctor Strange went from not having a book that I can remember in the last 5 years to having two books because the movie came out.
Yeah.
And I liked the first book for the most part. And then it got to be, it's crossing over with this, it's crossing over. I don't want to read all that.
Yeah.
You know, or not even, I don't have time or I don't have the money or, you know, whatever it is. I'm not going to read two different Doctor Strange books, and then, you know, it crosses over with this, it crosses over with that. At this point, my Marvel pull list is down to Moon Knight and Punisher, for a simple fact. Neither one of those books cross over to anything.
Right.
You know, I can read Punisher knowing that it's, you know, going to be just him, because he can kill people, and that doesn't happen in the normal Marvel universe. And then Moon Knight, luckily, they haven't done anything with that, but, you know, that's ending after, I think, next issue.
Which one?
14.
Okay. Oh, Moon Knight. Yeah. Well, he's leaving. Yeah, I didn't look in the book to see if there was a Moon Knight. Little DC news in their little weekly email. It looks like Flash 22 is going to be a week late. So, just to freak everybody out,
Boo. It
won't be out on the 10th. It'll be out on the 17th of May.
So, are they going to push Batman 23 because
why?
Well, I don't know if there's repercussions from what happens in, because Flash 22 should be the end of the button arc.
Right.
If there's repercussions,
right? Just Batman and Flash would ship the same week. I don't think so, because I think the next Batman issue is the repercussions from the Bane storyline.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it said. It was the conclusion or the epilogue of the I Am Bane storyline.
Which I thought ended beautifully.
So just one thing there. I thought the Flash issue that came out today was really cool. Some real neat beats in it.
Looking forward to reading it.
Yeah, it was good. Well, here, let me spoil it for you.
Jerk.
So that's all I really have is news. Pat's news, sorry.
No, that's okay. The one thing I did see about Legacy, which I found amusing.
Stop talking about it. Let issue one of your event leading into it come out. That's all I ask.
Was it's going to start with a 50-page one-shot.
Okay.
Where have we saw that before?
Yeah.
Although I doubt it'll be $2.99.
I doubt that as well.
But I just found it, you know.
I doubt I will order 300 copies of it.
I don't think you'll be able to. You have to take out a third mortgage to do that. It's probably going to be a $9.99 book. It's 50 pages.
Probably $5.99 would be my guess.
Really?
But still.
50 pages.
I know, but I'm just saying, that's why it'd be wise to price it around there and not $9.99. I don't think that would do well.
$3.99, I think, would be okay.
Oh, so all the cheaper, the less, they'd get more eyes on it, which is what they need, but who knows what they're...
I'd probably take a look at it for $3.99, depending upon what they do. I mean, obviously, I'd like to see them kind of correct the ship, maybe get the Fantastic Four back. I don't necessarily mind him killing off Wolverine.
Angry. He's just angry.
If I had to work here all day with you, I'd be angry too. I'm just saying. I'll stick up for you, Tim.
What did I do?
I don't have anyone else to pick on, so it's kind of you or nobody.
Okay,
sorry.
Fair enough.
Derpy
derp derp. Sorry.
Wow. So for some other news, Powerless got canceled.
Yeah, I saw that.
It got stealth canceled.
Yeah.
They pulled a Marvel.
Not a great show, but not, I was enjoying it. It was fine to put on. It was kind of mindless, but I wasn't surprised.
I liked the original premise, and I was excited for the show until I saw how they changed it, and I'm like, yeah, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, it there was a lot of it that wasn't great, but it wasn't hateful. I've seen a lot worse.
Bruce Wayne's cousin in it, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
I love him and everything, but it just seemed goofy. You know, the way they had him talk to Bruce. Like, nah, that just doesn't work for me, sorry. There's going to be a Titans live action show and a Young Justice cartoon,
yep.
Which is going to be season 3. But they're going to be on a DC streaming service. So I guess DC has decided to get into the game and get their own.
Well, and have it not through CW, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get that, but Netflix. Although they may not be able to because of their deal with Marvel,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But they have the CBS thing that Star Trek Discovery will never show up on.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is that one actually viable at this point?
But I would think that because they're partners, it would go through that. I mean, rather than start your own streaming service. At some point, like, I can't own all of them. I can't subscribe to all of them. It costs too much.
That's why I think Mike Sterling posted yesterday. He said, wouldn't it be great if we could have something that combined all of our streaming services into one thing and we could watch it on our TV?
I
thought that was funny.
They used to call it cable, but, you know. No. So DC came out with a little bit of information for Dark Days, Dark Nights, and then Dark Matter. So, I guess it starts in June and it runs through December. The little information that I saw on it was when heroes make a choice, you know, it's kind of like the not making a choice. You know, they made a choice, but what happened, you know, what could have happened almost.
Okay.
At least the first part, you know, they got Snyder writing it with Tinian and Capullo's going to be doing art on some of it. So, like, they got real, you know, real talent on this. Not a whole lot put out about it, though. It just seemed interesting that after Rebirth, trying to expand, because they got Young Animal, they got Wildstorm, and now they're trying to push this other side,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Well, I heard this one, was at least the Bleeding Cool article, was that this is very Didio-focused.
Okay.
This is his kind of pushback against Johns and Rebirth and everything, so.
Yeah, but that, to me, doesn't work. The house can't be divided upon itself. If as a corporation, you've decided to go with Rebirth, go with Rebirth. Rebirth seems to be working, so I don't know why you would go against that, but I don't know. Maybe Didio thinks you can bring in more fans. I mean, I can't imagine him losing a whole bunch of people from New 52 saying, oh, okay, well.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that was interesting about that little power play.
Valiant is coming back with a signature series for Secret Weapon.
I saw they had a big announcement stuff, and I just kind of all went over my head. Like all the C2E2 announcements, I kind of barely paid attention to.
There wasn't a whole lot, but I saw this. So apparently the original Valiant, they did this, and it was, you got like a certificate of authenticity because the writer signed it.
Okay.
Okay, great. And they're bringing it back for Secret Weapon. So, you know, you get a certificate of authenticity that, and Dinesh is what, supposed to be the witness that all these books were officially signed. Okay. So, just found that strange. But like it says, you know, you have gotten one of, and you know, the number will be whatever the print run is, so you know, you kind of an original.
Gotcha.
Okay, fine, whatever. I just found that interesting. And then they announced Star Wars Episode 9 will be out in May 2019. So okay. I guess they're switching back to the May release date from December.
Okay.
Because the Han Solo movie is also supposed to be a May release. May of 2018. Disney actually released their schedule through 2021. With everything from Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and then Lucasfilm. And it's looking at it, there's a lot of competition internally, it looks like, where they'd have, like, the Free Comic Book Day movie, and then 3 weeks later, a Star Wars movie right behind it. It's like, you're cannibalizing your audience there. Yeah. I mean, those really do cross over. I mean, a Disney princess movie and an Avengers movie, you can get away with that. But, you know, Star Wars and Avengers, those are... so I just, you know, I found that a little strange. I don't know if Disney sees it that way. They may think, eh, it doesn't really matter. We're going to make bucket loads of money either way. But I would think they would want to space out a little bit. So, and then Fox announced 3 X-Men movies for 2018. The New Mutants for April 13th, Deadpool 2 for June 1st, and X-Men Dark Phoenix for November 2nd.
So that works.
That's official.
Where's Gambit?
Yeah.
You're excited about Gambit? No. Tim's not excited. Tim's the silent podcaster.
I'm not excited about Gambit either.
He's making facial things. That sounded weird. Way to go, Tim. Gross. Knock it off.
So, that's all the news I got.
Okay. Yeah, I don't... Yeah. It's weird. It's funny. I forget who I was talking to. I might have talked about on the podcast about this, but... It used to be there was a lot of excitement on Wednesday, especially there'd be the lunch rush used to be a lot bigger for people wanting to come get their books before they were spoiled online.
Yes.
And that has really, really disappeared. Like, I would have expected more people wanting the Flash, not to get it spoiled, but just the excitement of it. And it really has gone down. But I almost put part of that is the comic websites are gone. Comic Book Resources isn't what it once was. No, it used to be, I'd be on there all day long looking at different news and things like that. I can't honestly not tell you the last time I went there. Because all I see, like, even in, you know, like I liked them on Facebook and it pops up and everything is, you know, top 15, whatever. It's like...
Yeah, they've become a clickbait list site.
And then Newsarama. Now, to be fair, I used to go to when I was doing the previous incarnation of the email... I would go and get the links to the previews, and I'd have to go on to Newsarama and Comic Book Resource and copy all that stuff. And since I reformatted it and don't do that anymore, but I think they've also changed to make it more difficult. But, yeah, I don't go on Newsarama anymore. And then I think a couple other ones have closed, like Comics Alliance, I think, just shut down recently. It's like, I think there's still market for that. I just don't think we have a good one.
I hate Bleeding Cool.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the only one out there. Yeah.
But even them now, there's a lot of wrestling stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff.
They've had a lot of, like, stuff on the football draft.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like they're reaching for every clip. That. Why would you?
Yeah.
There was stuff about Disney World, like there's a pizza restaurant for Rizzo the Rat, at Disney Hollywood Studios. I'm like, why is this one bleeding cool?
Yeah. So it's just, I think it's a little, things have changed. The need to get it Wednesday is, it's not going to be spoiled online because you're not looking online. That, shoot, Tim. That's from yesterday. I don't know why Adam left that. Yeah, so I think it's diluted a little bit of the Wednesday excitement, the Wednesday rush.
I think the other problem is there's kind of comic book overload at this point. You know, you have, you almost can't turn on the TV without there being a comic book property on. I think next year, Marvel alone, there's going to be 9 movies to a Marvel property.
Okay.
Plus, you know, DC is going to have
all the TV shows.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so you got, you know, at some point it's like it's too much.
Yeah. I just turned up the ringer.
See, that's what you get. Maybe it's Dave. He's saying, "Hey, I'm going to rush over here." I doubt it, though. But you know, it's. Last week when I came here was probably the busiest it's been here.
Yeah, and I think that there was a lot of excitement about Batman. Yeah.
You know, and you've said this before, a weekly book is great. You know, a weekly Batman, you know, Batman Eternal, Batman and Robin Eternal.
Yeah, I miss those weeklies, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they're get the well people done. In.
Yeah.
You know, Wolverine certainly was not that title, or Death of Wolverine was not that title, but, you know, I was looking forward every week to coming in and reading, you know, Batman Eternal, because it was so well done.
Right.
And
you get a little bit of that with the bi-week, like my Batman weeks typically are better than my detective weeks.
Which...
I think that goes also with Superman selling better than action.
And that's what I was going to say, because I enjoy Detective a lot better than I enjoy Batman, but I enjoy Detective now a lot better. But Superman has... As someone who never liked Superman, I am loving Superman in Rebirth. So I am a little surprised by the numbers, but I got to imagine the numbers... Batman and Detective combined are always going to outsell action and Superman combined.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just this is, you know, the excitement level, and I don't know how I guess I need to do a little better job on that. I know last week I posted it was also a Secret Empire week, and I posted about those covers and a little information about those. So I need to do a little more on that, because that does... I don't know if it has an impact, but it makes awareness of what's coming out and stuff like that. So, I'll get the hang of this thing.
Come on, Colin.
It was just nice when it was running on its own, you know, so easily.
But, we had a nerd renaissance where it became cool to be a nerd. And
now I got to remind people why it's cool to be a nerd.
Yeah, you know, it I don't want to say Marvel has killed it, but they have.
Well, they've diminished it a bit. Just, you know, the excitement of a new number one certainly isn't there.
Well, that's just it. I would rather watch a Marvel movie than read a Marvel comic book.
Yeah. Easy now.
I didn't break anything. And that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly cheaper for me to read a Marvel comic book than go to a movie, but the movies are better done.
Yeah, and that was one thing, like reading Batman, when I thought about it, after I read it and went, you know, the regular one is just $2.99, I had read a variant, and the cover price was $2.99, I'm like, that was a heck of a story for $2.99, and I, you know, it's $3.99 all the Marvel ones, and I don't think most of them gave you that much story.
Yeah.
Especially because I did read a bunch of Marvel last week, for Secret Empire, so.
Who is texting me?
Yeah. Tim. Well, not horrible. We'll see if we can even it out the rest of the week. It was a little slow today, which is funny, because Dan at Southside just texted me.
See you later, Tim.
Yeah. He had 25 more transactions than us today. It's like, why? Why were we so slow?
I don't know. Is anything going on?
Not out here, not that I'm aware of. I don't know. It was funny, I did mention to him that maybe it was a little bit of psychic, because I lost a bunch of books through damages, that I have emergency shipment, should be coming tomorrow.
Okay.
So maybe they were psychically knowing that the books they wanted weren't here, weren't going to be here. But yeah, just very odd that it was a good bit slower, especially definitely slower than last week. So just odd, not going to worry my head over it too much, but if it keeps up, I'll be like, what's going on? But next week should be a big week, too. Let's see, just to compare transactions from last week. Sorry. Dead air.
You gotta have this stuff ready to go.
I know. Oh, too far. Yeah, we did 24 less transactions than we did last week, and I can't really put my finger on it.
That felt like how many people were in here. And I know.
That's a lot of people not to come one Wednesday from the other. You know what caused that? I will have to figure that out. That's one of my things. I gotta figure out a way to get more people in.
I think you also need to look at week over week, because they may not be coming in on.
Right, I'm hoping that Thursday and Friday are bigger this week, just due to that.
But if you might be able to see, okay, I'm having the same number of people come in, right. It's just spread out.
Right, so. No, that's what I mean, yeah. So maybe I'll have a stronger Thursday and Friday than last week to compensate for. So yeah, that was just a little odd.
You're a little odd, yeah.
So. Pat!
Yeah?
What'd you read?
Well, I read books.
Okay. I bet we read some of them. This is going to be a quick podcast. We might be home before it's dark.
Nice. Batman.
I read that.
Did you?
I did.
The Button.
The Butt. You said Butt.
Giggity. So, I really enjoyed a lot about this. The stuff with Thomas Wayne coming back kind of through Flashpoint, I thought was great, because I think he is a great character, the Thomas Wayne version of Batman. And I wish DC had done more with him after Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They did a little bit with Convergence, but not really. That would have been great. But somehow, Reverse Flash, who was killed by Thomas Wayne in Flashpoint, is back, and he was attracted to the Button,
which somehow interacted with Psycho Pirate's mask.
Yeah, which I guess we'll figure out why, but that didn't seem to make a lot of sense, because they were clearly from different universes.
But Psycho Pirate does go all the way back to the original Crisis too. So
okay, yeah, but Watchmen,
I know,
or different.
I know.
Universe.
I know, but I'm just saying. So, yeah.
Batman eventually defeats the Reverse Flash. Although, the way he did with the Batarang, stab him in the foot, I thought was great. Yep. The Saturn Girl showed up at the very beginning, knowing. So there must be something with that hockey game. Like, why would you remember that?
Well, it may have just been also a case Flash mentioned at the end. The reason he was a little bit late is because he was stopping by to see. But yeah, it's a point. I love the smiley face poster behind her. I thought that was good. I thought it was good. And then it goes where. He then has a knockdown, drag-out fight. But I loved how it was set up, where he's talking to Flash, and Flash says he'll be there in a minute. And then basically you have a 60-second countdown with each panel, 9-panel grids. I also loved when it was just Reverse Flash moving, the clock didn't move.
Right.
It stayed the same. So, yeah, that was really, really neat book.
Not having read The Flash, the appearance is that Dr. Manhattan kills Reverse Flash.
Right.
But here's what I don't get. every time we've seen Dr. Manhattan explode somebody, they were exploded.
Right.
Reverse Flash was not. It was just like his side got blown.
It was like half of him.
Shotgun blast
yeah.
or something.
Well, it was like half of him was. Yeah.
Well, but it was like half was kind of burnt, almost
right.
like Zoom,
right.
like the way they did Zoom in the Flash. But you could see his torso.
My
and his
only
side
guess is like he was in his presence and then was slipping through time and just hit.
Okay. All right. That, and that
got what
be.
Was left as it was moving back to Bruce Wayne.
Because that's, I mean, that's kind of what I got out of it was like, okay, it's. It, clearly, they want you to think it's Dr. Manhattan, but when Dr. Manhattan kills you, there's
yeah.
nothing left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he didn't survive it.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that we know of.
Right. The only bad thing is I think the following Flash storyline is a reverse Flash story. So we'll see.
Okay. Superman. I know you love Superman.
I've been talking up and enjoying this entire run.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my favorite issue of that run so far. And which, you know, I figured it peaked at the original John and
okay.
Damian stuff. I didn't love the Reborn stuff. It was okay, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
But this one, from the very beginning, when the farmer shows up and is talking to Damian and says... you know, if you're good, maybe I'll bring you milk some next time. And he
I have my own
yeah.
cow.
And then just this shot of them riding Superman, I thought
yes.
was hilarious. And then when they get into the fight and he tells Damian and John to stand back because this is a job for Superman. I'm just like, that was just so perfect. It wasn't even corny. It fit. It made
right.
sense. But it was just so classic.
I was hoping with the big octopus... that it was going to tie in at the button somehow.
Okay.
I was hoping...
Oh,
that,
God, the squid, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I was hoping. Like, I was waiting for it, and I was turning the pages. I was like, you know, come on. Show me something that lets this tie in. You know, it's a big purple octopus.
Yeah.
That's what, and, you know, it just didn't happen, so... But, no, I agree. I really enjoyed this. Kathy, who is the little girl neighbor
mm-hmm.
that plays with John, obviously there's something up with her.
Yep.
It almost seems like she's there to protect John.
But like that little one issue throwaway story where they got lost
in the swamp.
Well, now that's coming around. So it's just so nice.
Right, things that you think are one shots and aren't
yeah.
going to matter.
They're
no, they do, and that's good storytelling. You know, kind of the slow burn. So that no, it's been excellent. Super Sons.
I did not get to that one yet.
So
I feel shame.
What I like best about it's so last year when they had Justice League, you had the Amazo virus, and Lex Luthor cured them, but apparently there was 3% of people that weren't cured. And this focuses on.
Right, start with that family.
Right, this family, and the son wants to stay a, you know, superpowered. Well, so he can control machines. So there's a robot version of Superman and a robot version of Batman that they're fighting. They run into the sister of this kid. She can control machines. She shuts down the robot versions of Superman and Batman. But somehow the brother is controlling her, but only part of the time. Like, she can fight the brother, but not exactly. To me, the best part about this is the Damian-John interactions. You know, John kind of jealous of Damian because he's part of the Teen Titans and John isn't.
Right.
That kind of stuff. I just think it's really a big brother, little brother relationship. But, you know, they're not that far apart. They're only a couple years apart. And of course, you know, John keeps, you know, telling Damian, well, I'm bigger than you. So it's... I enjoy the book. This arc is not... the greatest. I think, you know, the stuff that they're doing in Superman is better, but the interaction between the two, I think, is really fun. Next, I read Moon Knight. Okay. So this was the penultimate issue where we learn a lot more about Spectre's backstory. So the other thing that we find out in this is all the stuff that's been going on with him is inside his head.
Okay.
And it starts off with he retrieves Crowley from Anubis, and he tells her to go find Gene at the diner. He has to finish this all on his own. And that's where he's headed to, is to defeat Khonshu. But the whole time, like, he's talking to himself. He is in his Mr. Knight guise, and we never see Khonshu, but the writing is it's in the style, or, you know, the way it's lettered is in the style of being Khonshu. But it goes back to when Mark first is attacked in the desert, and why he was attacked in the desert, trying to stick up when people had found an Egyptian tomb, and Bushmaster wanted to go in and raid it, basically, and Mark didn't want that to happen, or, you know, he didn't want innocents killed, even though he was a mercenary.
Okay.
So he was attacked by Bushman's other mercs, and you know, her. Now, we don't see him becoming Moon Knight or talking to Khonshu, but we do find out that everything that's been going on is just either a hallucination or a remembrance.
Okay.
So, kind of clears up a little bit. I'm sad to see this book go, just because it's been so good. Although the flip side is, if you only have a 14-issue story to tell your story.
And don't milk it.
But I will be sad to see this go. Letter 44. This was a really weird issue, because it focused on the builders, and it told the story of the wave that's going to wipe out civilization. The builders were responsible for it. They had initially tried to harness the collapse of a star, because they were in the Milky Way, but the star that they were orbiting, they had maxed out what they had done. Like, they made the most efficient, whatever, they just needed more energy, and the only way they could get it was by a star collapsing and them collecting it. Well, somehow when they did that, it sent a wave that it will grow exponentially, and by the time it reaches the center of the galaxy, it will wipe everything out, and Earth being at the center of the galaxy, apparently. So, it was very different than the rest. It was a good issue. I think that it probably should have been done 15 issues before.
Okay.
Just because at this point, we are at the end of the series, and I think it was a little, you know, it was a little late for this explanation.
Okay.
Like, it either should have come before, or don't even worry about where the wave came from. It doesn't matter. It's just, you know, it's some wave that's coming to kill everything. The beauty. So, this issue goes back into the first arc. It's kind of a prequel to the first arc, where someone is going around and killing people that have the beauty, in the beginning of the task force, who's supposed to be finding these people. It's an interesting concept for a comic, but it's really hard to explain if you haven't read it. It's an STD that people want because it makes them beautiful. So people are intentionally.
But then they also.
Right, immolate. But at this point they don't know that.
Okay.
Because this is all taking place before that happens. Okay. But there's someone going around to kill these people off, just because, I guess, you know, the promiscuity or whatever. Okay. Like, they haven't got into it yet. But the way that they're killing them is by fire. Okay. One guy, they put in the center of a room and have mirrors surrounding him with, like, a parabolic lens, so it sets off and, like, everything reflects and basically cooks him alive. And another guy, they found, you know, someone just poured gasoline on him and set him on fire. So, it's a little bit different than the original premise of it. But it's an interesting book. It's kind of, there's social commentary there, kind of a crime mystery. A little bit of everything. Star Trek Green Lantern. So this is the penultimate issue of this, where the Enterprise, using Manhunters to open a wormhole, is able to journey to Oa. Sinestro, who arrived there in the last issue, retrieved the bit of the yellow out of the central power battery, because this is all, you know, pre that. So now he is destroying Oa. So the Guardians have just created rings. This is before the rings had ever gone out. So, you know, they send him out to try to help, and of course Kirk gets a ring. This is interesting. I think the first series was a little bit more interesting.
Okay.
But I do enjoy this. They're very true to the characters. And the interactions between the Green Lanterns and the Star Trek characters seem very organic and seem natural, which is good. It does, nothing in there really seems forced. Finally, I read The Punisher. So this is...
So you kind of cleaned out all your Marvel books in 1 week.
Yeah, they both come out the same week. But in at the end of the last issue, the Punisher had been captured by this group, Condor, who were trafficking super steroid, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
And in this issue, he fights and you know, kills them all. Nothing spectacular. It was a typical, you know, Punisher issue where, you know, he kills as many people as possible, and
which is what you're looking for.
No, and that's exactly it. It's what I go, and, you know, the Punisher is kind of mindless entertainment, and that's all it is. It's certainly not the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, that's all I read. Well, what did you read, Colin?
Sorry, looking at a box that had three Pokemon books in it, going, why? Okay, well, in addition to Batman and Superman, those were easy ones. I also went on a Secret Empire binge. There were three prequel books to it, Thunderbolts, U.S. Avengers, and Captain America. And they were in a very specific order you had to read. And I know I read them in the right order, but hopefully I talk about them in the right order. Thunderbolts, I know, was the first one, because Thunderbolts' story revolved around... the Thunderbolts were kind of in charge of Kobik, or had Kobik.
Okay.
And she was, I guess, like, close to Bucky. And then, I guess in the previous issue, those two had a little falling out. There was a big fight amongst all the Thunderbolts. And it basically ended with Kobik kind of screaming. I think she was saying, like, she was just trying to help. And then ends up shattering. So her cosmic cube fragment that she was shattered into more fragments.
Okay.
So now they had to go get the different fragments. And this was a problem for Steve Rogers, because the idea was to have her. And now my understanding is that later on, one of the plot points that's going to be crucial is the search for these parts. But it's not going to be in the main Secret Empire book. It's going to be in a couple spinoffs with the two different groups looking for these pieces. Okay. They didn't want to bog down the main story with this, so they are including it in some... They're like not...
They're tie-ins, but they're not.
Right. They're tie-ins. From what I understand, they're very important to the story, but they didn't want to put them in there and say that they were crucial and make it now 12 issues and people would lose their minds. So, and then U.S. Avengers was interesting, where it's Steve coming to Roberto, who's Sunspot, and talking to him and kind of playing some mind games with him, like saying, you trust me, don't you? And kind of teasing his power, using his charisma on him to get him to sway him to do what he wants them, what he wants to do, have happen in lieu of what seems right type of situation. Well, you are Captain America, so I should trust you. So it was very interesting dynamic. There were some points where he was, you know, acting angry, things like that, but he was definitely pushing buttons, trying to see how far he could go with this. And then you had Captain America. Now, I do apologize. I'm not sure which issue this happened. I think it was in this one, where he basically had a fight with the Red Skull, because the other part of his plan that has gone screwy is he had planned to have the Red Skull with Professor Xavier's mind. Well, a couple weeks ago in Uncanny Avengers, that got destroyed, where they had it removed and then burned it. So he doesn't have that, and basically he throws Red Skull off a cliff, basically saying he's no longer important to his needs. He is now taking over. And then this all leads into Secret Empire, number zero, where the plan is slowly coming into place. There's three big events going on. You have a Chitauri invasion fleet is coming that Captain Marvel and Alpha Flight are up in space trying to stop and losing badly.
Okay.
There was a plan. The whole reason that Steve Rogers took over for Maria Hill is she hinged her whole plan on this sky shield that would protect the Earth. And it was damaged by a Hydra operative. And so Iron Man and Riri are working on reestablishing that, trying to get it up in time.
How's Iron Man back?
Yeah, good question. So you also have Hydra has invaded Sokovia.
Okay.
So the SHIELD helicarriers are going to try to deal with that because one of them has gone offline. And then you also have all the bad guys from Pleasant Hill have shown up in New York, and the Defenders need to show up, and they're trying to stop them.
Okay.
So these are all the pieces of Steve's plan that he then enacts when suddenly, magically, Iron Man and Riri are able to reestablish the shield. But Iron Man realizes that they didn't actually do anything. The attack didn't actually damage it, just somebody basically flipped the switch, which created the shield now to stop the Chitauri. Unfortunately, Carol Danvers and all the those outer space type characters now are on the other side of this shield, and he's not going to let them back in. New York has been bathed in darkness through the Darkhold book and Blackout.
Okay.
Now New York City is in blackness. So all those heroes that live in New York are now in complete blackness. And basically, Cap just takes over. Now, I did read a funny thing somebody said. Is like, okay, so it's Secret Empire. Not very secret. Because in the Zero issue, he pretty much just comes straight out and says, I'm Hydra and I'm taking over the government.
Okay.
It wasn't done very stealthily. Iron Man quickly realizes that something is awry. So not bad. Number one is next week, so we'll see where this goes. As a Zero, it didn't sell great. But I think Marvel has kind of trained people not to jump on Zeros, because Zeros traditionally have not been that great with Civil War, and I don't remember Secret War all that much. The Zero issue, I don't remember. It was probably...
Yeah, I'm sure there was one.
Yeah, it was probably a Free Comic Book Day one.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, so this one they're doing a little different. We're getting Zero and One, and then Free Comic Book Day, which is odd. So, and then the last one I read was a fun little image book called Plastic.
Fun.
About a guy and his inflatable sex doll.
Marinoid.
Once you know about it, it's the opening conversation is really creepy. You know, he keeps going, again? Gosh, honey, you're really, you know. And then, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to go get some donuts, and I'll get a brush and some, you know, it's just, it's very, very awkward. And then he comes back in, and at one point he's wiping something off her mouth and then eats it, and then you realize it's the donuts. But, yeah, but so he's in this, well, that was later, but earlier he goes into the store to get the donut and the brush and stuff. It's a gas station. He comes out, and there's three guys kind of looking at her in the car, making fun of her. And he kind of goes in, then attacks them, and drives off. Well, it turns out the one is a doofus son of somebody very important, and he has them. He then has this guy tracked down who beat up his son, and he is very protective of his doll. I forget her name. But it turns out he was a CIA operative for 10 years off the grid. And you see it a little bit in where they have him tied up. You just see he's recognizing names. He's like, okay, that's Bill. That's Ted. Over water, because you can see a hole in the floor and there's water underneath. Okay. And, you know, you see he's kind of, you know, figuring out where he is, all this stuff. And almost more, I think, so that he can find her. He can come back and find the doll. But basically he wants him to do he has just the talents that he needs.
He has a particular set of skills?
That he needs him to do a particular job. And basically, I think it was, if this family sees sunrise, she dies or something, and that's how it ended. But interesting, different, very different, but certainly not unenjoyable. I enjoyed it. It was good. So, oh, Redneck also came out last week. I forgot about that only because I had read that in a PDF. Blew through, that was the speculator book of the week. So, sadly, I did blow through what I thought was a rather large order quickly. But basically, it's set in East Texas. It's this little backwoods family of vampires. They live in a little house. They raise cattle, and that's the blood they drink. And just they kind of hanging out all on their own. Until the younger ones decide they want to go into town and have some fun. So they do, and then, like, Grandpa follows them. You know, they're, 100, he's 200.
Okay.
But they go into town, of course, trouble ensues at the bar, and then Grandpa confronts, like, one of their nemesis. Like the guy who's always been against them, you know, the church guy, that kind of guy. And then it wakes up with Grandpap all bloodied on the front porch and starting to burn as the sunlight hits him and he rolls out of the way. And then they're like, what happened? He's like, I don't remember. And then in the backyard, all the cattle are dead and the one son is hanging from the tree and has burst into flames from the sun hitting him.
Okay.
And that's how it ends. So it's kind of like, okay, so basically somebody has riled up now, you know, there's vengeance to be had for these vampires.
Yeah.
So it was very good. It was very enjoyable. I just feel bad that it was, you know, one of the speculator books, so.
I feel like you talked about this last week, and maybe it was after the podcast.
Maybe. Because I had read it earlier, and we'd done a conference call with Donnie Cates.
Okay.
So it was good. But yeah, my problem with these speculators or these people that buy them to flip them on eBay is, okay, yes, I sold 20 copies of this book.
But you're not going to sell 20 copies.
What am I
going
to sell,
two?
Four of number two? Because none of these are being read. I don't have more to sell to people that actually want them. It's just very, very, very frustrating in that regard. So there, hey, that was eight. You know, it's no Josh's 22, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but Josh's 22 include a lot of what we already read. That's so. True. So what's coming out next week?
Next week is the week before Free Comic Book Day, the best week of the year. So, some interesting stuff coming. Alterna has been promoting these. They're doing these $1.50 books on newsprint.
Okay,
and they've been promoting them for a while. Well, I think a lot of them are shipping next week. So there's going to be a lot of interesting books out there for you. You know, really low price points, you know, $1.50. So we have Adam Wreck number one, which is one of those.
Are these color or are these black and white?
I'm assuming color, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I don't know. But we have Adam Wreck. We have Amazing Age. Croak. Sorry, it's just easy to run through looking at the prices to figure out which one of these ones of these are coming. Lilith Dark, which I think has been out in another form before.
Okay. These aren't all original.
I think they are, but she may have had a prior series, and this is a new one. So okay. Just that name is very familiar, and the logo is very familiar. So we also have all new Guardians of the Galaxy just in time for the movie coming out on Friday.
What?
We have Bane Conquest, which is the Bane book. Batman number 22, the next part of the Button storyline. Black Bolt number 1, because you can't get enough in humans.
I can't wait to read it, but he doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Catalyst Prime Noble. Lion Forge is doing this big event called Catalyst.
This is their, Prime. Whole shared universe.
Right, that they're starting. I know there's a Free Comic Book Day book in it, and this is the first book, regular book, coming out of it. Damned number 1 is a dollar book. This is from Cullen Bunn and Oni.
What isn't?
Divinity 3 Stalinverse trade paperback. You guys, I don't know if it's you or Josh, but Josh, I guess, particularly, really talked this up. I'm very interested to read these three trades.
Yeah.
So this is the third one is coming out next week. Eternal Empire, this is a new one from Image. Guardians of the Galaxy has a couple little ones coming out. We have Mission Breakout, which I believe is a one-shot. And then we also
have the name of the Disney ride that's just opening, so maybe that's where it goes.
And then there's a new 5-issue mini called Mother Entropy is starting. I think that's a weekly. Injustice 2, number 1, is coming out. Supposedly lots of stuff is happening in this one, tying into with the video game. Jean Grey, number 1. She's getting her own book, and that starts. Pestilence, number 1. This is from Aftershock. I thought this was a pretty neat idea. What if the plague wasn't the plague, but actually the first zombie manifestation of zombies, back in the Middle Ages?
Okay.
So that's what this is going to be
dealing
with. I thought that was kind of a neat idea. Predator Hunters, a new Predator book. Project Superpowers, Hero Killers. Project Superpowers goes back a while at Dynamite, and then not that long ago, Warren Ellis did a run at it. It was Black Cross. Storyline that he did, and this is just another one. It's not Ellis, but this is a new Project Superpowers book. Riverdale number 2 for Dave. Secret Empire number 1 is coming. It's Secret Empire Party, as much as I do these parties. Star Wars Rogue One adaptation number 2. We got Superman 22. Sword Quest is a quarter book tying back to the old Atari video game.
Oh, okay.
Underdog. New Have Underdog no book. Have no fear. Walking Dead. X-Men Gold number 3. We got number 2 this week. It was off by a week because for a little closer editorial inspection, I'm sure. And then Youngblood. And let me know because I have a couple copies of the Liefeld variant cover coming in. So, and even better, not only is there a Liefeld variant on this, there's a David Finch variant on this. But the last one is the bottom one down there.
Daughtry.
From American Idol.
Chris Daughtry
drew the variant cover.
Okay.
So, Youngblood, it's the book to read, the place to be, the thing to read. So, not only is that coming next week, we do have, well, first this week, Thursday is the previews order is due, so if there's anything in the April previews you're interested in, please let me know by Thursday night at the latest. So I can get it into the order. It technically goes in at 3 a.m. Friday, but
It doesn't get in at 3 a.m. Friday.
I can't promise I'll be up to make any adjustments then. So earlier the better to let me know. Friday is our book club where we're doing Batman Earth 1. I am out right now, but I have more copies coming in tomorrow. So if you need
one. It's a quick read, too.
Yeah, it's not a long read. So that's coming. And then we get into next week, of course. Next Saturday is Free Comic Book Day. I still got a lot of stickering to do.
It's because you lost your help this week.
I did lose my help this week. So I got stickering to do. I still got to read all the books to grade them. I had planned to do that over the weekend, and the weekend just got away from me. It's the end of the Boom Studio, and I'm trying to come up with something to do for May. So if you have any ideas, give me a send me a message. You know, the easy one is Guardians, but there's not enough really Guardians to really do. So I'm trying to come up with something. And I'm June is going to be Wonder Woman, so it's kind of, okay, so let me see what I can get in between here. Either a publisher or a creator. Maybe I'll do a creator. I haven't done a creator yet. You know, for one person, you know, someone who's fairly prolific. So maybe I'll do that. I'll think on
Warren
that.
Warren Ellis.
Yeah, I could think on him. Think about him. Or Garth Ennis. There's a lot
yeah,
I can
Garth
pick.
Ashton, I go on
so here. I will think about it. I might do. Ellis makes sense, especially with Wildstorm out right now. So keep an eye out. But I'll finalize that one. I think Monday is the first. So I think that's everything that's going on that I need to tell you about.
So how can people find you?
You can find me at the store because I never leave. No, that's not true.
You're going to leave in about 5 minutes.
I am. But PittsburghComics.com is the easiest place. I'm trying to do a lot more online, so you'll see stuff on Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics and Twitter under PGH Comics, and same with Instagram as PGH Comics. So I think those are the main places you can find me. Yeah, I think that's about it. Well, we didn't make it out of here before it got dark, but darn close. So, Pat?
That's podcast.
So we will talk to you next week, hopefully a bigger crew. And we'll talk to you then. See you.